Good evening and welcome to the Damansara Reformed Baptist Church lockdown live stream. And we are glad to have you here with us this evening. And we extend a warm welcome to anyone who may be new to us. Our text today is from the book of Mark and chapter 5. And we will begin reading from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. So, Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. So, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita Kumi, which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. So that was from the book of Mark in chapter 5, from verse 21 to verse 43. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do come to you now. We thank you that we may come, that we have this access to the throne of grace on high. Though, Lord, we are low, we are but grasshoppers in your sight, yet, Lord, we know that we can still come to you, and that you are the God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we come to an almighty God, a God who can do all things, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and all that in them is, the God who formed us even from our mother's womb, who shaped every part of our being, who continues to sustain this world in each passing moment. And Lord, we also remember that you are the God of salvation, the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come to this earth to die for needy sinners such as us. We think of the work of creation and how magnificent and mighty it was, and yet we think of the work of redemption, which is far greater. And Lord, we would praise you and worship you for all that you have done, for truly you are a God who does wondrous things. We come to you, O Lord, also now confessing all our sins of the past week. We know, O Lord, that we sin in word and thought and deed. So we come and ask for your cleansing afresh through the shed blood of Christ. And we pray that you would help us advance in the walk of holiness. Help us, O Lord, to depart from sin, to have true repentance, and O Lord, also that we may manifest forth the fruits of the Spirit, that we may truly become more loving and more kind and gentle and have joy and peace in our hearts. Lord, we pray that in every way you would help us to advance in the walk of righteousness. We remember, Lord, that even as we come to you now to worship you online, we thank you for this facility that we have to meet together, that we can still gather around your word and hear it. We remember, Lord, that we are not the only ones who worship you, and we marvel at how your gospel has gone to the four corners of this world, and Lord, that your people everywhere in all different regions and in different time zones, in every tribe and nation and tongue, they do come to you and they bow their knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and they pay you the worship that you are due. And so, Lord, even as we join in this great host of your people who worship you, we pray that you would still look upon us and bless us. We know that even as many worship you, yet you still look upon us so carefully and tenderly, and you count, you're able to count even the number of the hairs on our head. And we marvel at this, Lord, and we would come to you, and we pray that you would truly know your presence, and we would truly know your blessing, even as we come to honor and praise you. We remember especially at this time our brethren in Myanmar and the difficulties that they face. We pray that you would continue to be with them, bless their worship, and pray that they will not experience disruption to it, even in the midst of such turmoil. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would continue to allow us to worship in peace and to gather together and to meet together, even in the coming days. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you would draw close to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that our worship, even tonight, would be sincere and heartfelt and devoted to you. We pray, Lord, also for those who have yet to know you. We pray that even tonight may be a night in which they come to experience salvation. They come to truly know Christ and put all their trust and faith in him. We pray that you would bless and help and work by your Spirit, even in the hearts of many this night. So we look to you, Lord. We would depend upon you for all blessing, and we will pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our text today is from the book of Mark in chapter 5, where we will begin in verse 21. And we have been previously considering Christ on the other side of this Sea of Galilee, where he met the demon-possessed man at Gadara. Well, Christ now crosses back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He had been turned away by the people there, but where he was once unwanted, he was now welcomed on this side of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 21, we see that a great multitude gathered to him. And out of this great multitude, there are two people that are singled out. And we will examine today the Lord's work in them. It's a very rich account, these verses. We can really have two separate sermons on it. There are two separate miracles, but they are wrapped into one. We see in verse 22, we are introduced to the first person, which is Jairus and his daughter. But on their way home, on their way to the daughter, there is an interruption. An interruption, and where Christ deals with another woman, the woman with the issue of blood, before Christ returns and he comes back to address Jairus' daughter again. Now, among the great multitude, there were many who doubtless were impacted by Christ. They saw wonderful and wondrous things, and they must have learned many things from Christ and his teaching. But these two in particular were touched by Christ, the woman and Jairus's daughter. And really, the experience of the multitude cannot compare to these two. And we'll really see and examine what the difference is, to be touched by Christ rather than just to be around him tonight. So these two people in question, they were very different people. Jairus's daughter was young. We read later on in the chapter that she was around 12 years of age. And she was born in privilege. Jairus was a notable man. He is named here, whereas the woman is not. And he was a ruler in the synagogue, of the synagogue. And so he had standing. He probably had wealth as well. And his daughter, being part of the household, would, by extension, have this as well. And Jairus' daughter was also well loved. And we see the great love that Jairus, and I'm sure both parents, had for her. And we see also that many others noted her condition and were there present in the house, in the midst of this predicament that she finds herself in. Well, the woman with the flow of blood, she is not named. She remains anonymous to us. It is likely that no one ever had the opportunity to ask her a name, and so none of the gospel writers are able to name her. Nevertheless, she is so important in our account, and we do have some details about her. She was likely in poverty. We see that she had spent all her money. She came alone to Christ, and she was likely not young either, having had this issue for 12 years. And so we see that the woman and Jairus' daughter, they were very, very different people, but they both needed the touch of Christ. And both of them were not exempt from the suffering and the curse of sin. You know, age or social standing or riches, they don't make a difference. We see that with Jairus' daughter, though very different in many ways, very privileged. She was still in this same desperate situation, in a similar desperate situation as the woman with the issue of blood. And they both needed help. They both needed Christ. And so both Jairus, on behalf of the daughter, who was unable at the time, And the woman approached Christ. And we see here that sometimes Christ seeks people out. Like the Apostle Paul, he was stopped in the way. He was not seeking Christ. But generally, those who receive the blessings of Christ are those who are drawn to him by need, and they come to him, just like both of these individuals here. Well, why did they need Christ's touch? Well, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, we see in verse 22 why he came to Christ. We see that he was in great need, and we see his earnestness in verse 22. When he saw him, he saw Christ, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live." Well, his daughter was at the point of death. And this was his little daughter, his only daughter, we're told in another gospel. And the word little shows that this was his darling daughter. He greatly loved her, and she was dying. We're not told what exactly caused her to be in this situation, but to know that she was dying was enough. How difficult this must have been for a parent. It's probably the hardest thing for a parent to go through, to see their young one dying. And these, we remember Jairus, he was a loving parent. We see it in his behavior, his attitude. And so it comes as no surprise to us that this condition makes him desperate, and death makes us desperate, doesn't it? Willing to go to any length. And in Job and chapter 2 and verse 4, even Satan makes this observation. He says, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life." And so Jairus, in his desperate situation, he's heard of Christ, and he comes begging him to come and see his daughter. Now the woman, we are introduced to her at verse 25 of the chapter. Now she had a flow of blood for 12 years. And the equivalent would be, the medical term would be hemorrhaging, blood hemorrhaging. And we see that the daughter of Jairus, she had lived 12 years of life, where this woman has suffered for 12 years. And 12 years is a long time, and a long time to be suffering. And so we see that her ordeal was a long-term one. It was difficult. Life is in the blood, and to have an issue with the flow of your blood would not only affect your blood, but would affect all your bodily functions. It would constantly lead you to fatigue. It may lead to issues with the heart or with other organs, and we see that it was a very serious situation she was in. And to be in this situation for 12 years was certainly not easy. And in verse 26, we see that she too was desperate. And in her desperation, she had went to see many doctors. The word physician means doctor. But one after another, they couldn't do anything for her. In fact, we see that they made things worse. They may have made her condition worse because she suffered at their hands. And she certainly spent all the money that she had trying to find a cure. And at the end of all that, the only conclusion that could be drawn was that her issue, her flow of blood, was an incurable sickness. By all the earthly means, all the earthly solutions had been exhausted, and yet nothing seemed to be have been able to be done. Well, the difficulties of Jairus's daughter and this woman, they were different, no doubt, but the suffering was common to both of them. And suffering is universal. It spares no one. All of us go through go through suffering. And just as suffering is universal, so is sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And my friend, today, what is your need of Christ? Do you need his touch, just like this woman, just like Jairus' daughter? Is there some sin that you need him for? Are you spiritually dead? Are you plagued by sin, perhaps even a long-term one, one that you've struggled with for many, many years? This woman, 12 years. Have you any sense of your own condition? Would you seek out Christ just as these two have? Really help. You know, even from this screen, there's no way to know your condition, but Christ knows. And you know, even as we listen, really consider, do I have this need? Do I need to come to Christ? And really also see the outcome of their coming to him. Well, these two, Jairus and the woman, they both had a sense of their situation. They knew what they needed. They needed Christ's touch. And Jairus, in verse 23, we've read this, but we see here that he very clearly knew that, and he very clearly asked Christ to come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. So they ask for Christ's touch. And the woman in verse 27, when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She didn't even think to ask. She knew that the key was to touch Christ. And they knew, both of them knew, that simply the touch of Christ and all would be made well. And do we have such a desire in our lives to lay hold on Christ? You know, let us really think of that. Do we have this desire? Oh, you know, we may be in a bad situation. Do we like these two know that if we would but touch Christ, all would be made well? And it may just be a touch. But we also note that for these two, it didn't come without difficulty. Of course, touching in and of itself is easy, but we see in the situation of these two, in the woman's case, she had tried so many things that didn't work already. Why? She could have thought, why would a touch make a difference? And we also see in verse 33 that she approached Christ with fear and trembling, and so it wasn't without difficulty that they tried to come to Christ. You know, even internally, her situation was one that where she might have fallen into despair, and many others did. You know, for example, in the case of Jairus, others, you know, at hearing the news of the daughter's death, they were already weeping. And so there are many, many things to discourage them. And to add on to that, you know, others, the people around them also discouraged them. There was a great multitude in the way. They likely, you know, they wouldn't have cared about the woman. They may have made way for Jairus, being a man of standing, but he still had to get through the multitude. You know, Christ was busy and he was going about his business. Could they trouble Christ at this juncture? And we see also in Jairus, in verse 35, that others tried to dissuade them, tried to say, don't bother. You know, why trouble the teacher any further? And in verse 40, they even ridiculed Christ. You know, so many discouragements to them coming. And I'm sure there are many discouragements to anyone who try to come to Christ. Satan puts them in our way. And also sometimes we, of our own nature, we get dissuaded. It is very common to have discouragements. discouragements from within, our own thoughts, perhaps our own doubts. What if it doesn't work? What if I come to Christ and nothing happens? Or maybe I'm too sinful. My situation is too serious. Or, maybe it would work for someone else, but it's too hopeless for me. So we see that there are discouragements from within, and we see also that there are discouragements from without, from families, maybe from peers, even from well-meaning people. Sometimes they undermine Christ. They say, don't waste your time. They get in the way. They might put barriers, to try to make it inconvenient for you to come to Christ. They might even ridicule you. They might ridicule Christ as well. And you remember that after all, many of these people, they themselves have no hope. And so they have no way to encourage you. And so they try to stop you, whether it's intentional or not. Well, these two, both Jairus and the woman, they persevered. There were many discouragements, but they persevered. And what was their secret to persevering? It was their faith. They knew the power of God. They knew that Christ could heal. They had heard it. And so they had faith. And Christ himself encouraged this faith. In verse 34, we see, after the fact, he confirms the faith of the woman. Your faith has made you well. And he encourages her with kind words. And in verse 36, for Jairus, in his time of deepest despair, after receiving that news of that his daughter, your daughter is dead, Christ encourages him and says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Encourages his faith. And also again in verse 39, we see Christ is so calm and he is so tender and merciful, even in the midst of what would have brought these people to despair, even in the midst of their fear, he tends to them, even by encouragement. And it wasn't a perfect faith for both of them. We see that there was fear, there was trembling in the both of them, but the faith was clear. It was evidently there, and it overcame all the discouragements that were in their way. And ultimately, the faith led to the touch. The faith led them to Christ, and they did not stop until Christ had touched them and blessed them. For the woman, she came from behind. She came in secret. She didn't want to bother him. She didn't want to bother anyone. And perhaps she was afraid to, but she came and she had faith, and so she touched the hem of his garment. And for Jairus, he did not give up. He did not turn Christ away at his daughter's death. He continued to let Christ come, and the result of it was that his daughter's hand, that Christ, as he asked Christ to do in verse 41, that Christ took the child by the hand and lifted her up. And why is the touch so important? We've talked about faith and why, and now we talk about the touch. Why is it so important? Why is it that we should desire to be touched by Christ? Why does it make the difference? Why does it make any difference? Well, we can answer that with another question. Who was touching them, or who did they touch? And the who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the source of all blessing. He is the source of all power and might, and he is divine. And we also see at work here that he is the great physician and he is the life giver. And it's not the touch itself, but what it connects us to that matters. And the result was that the woman in verse 29 immediately Immediately. That's a favorite work, favorite word of Mark. We've noted it before, and we see it here. Just a touch, and immediately the fountain dries up. What had been flowing for 12 years, her issue of 12 years, all her effort in vain, but in an instant, with that one touch, immediately she experiences the healing, and all is made well. And for the child in verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And he said, and Christ says this with such tenderness. He uses Talitha Kumi, which is in Aramaic, which would have been the native language for the girl. Even like like her mother might have asked her to wake up, might have gently tried to wake her up. He just says, Talitha Kumi, little girl, arise. And once again, we see in verse 42, immediately the girl arose and walked. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And she was well enough to eat. Christ, at his own resurrection, after he was revealed to the disciples, he ate in front of them. Eating is part of life. Corpses don't need to eat, but living beings do. And so we see that he asks very tenderly for this girl to be provided for, that she might eat. And we see that she is made completely well. It wasn't as if she was just preserved, bedridden, just before she, like in the state just before she died, she was made completely well, able to walk just right after rising. And we also note this, that the Lord could have healed from a distance. He could have healed before she ever died. After all, in Luke chapter 7, he does so from the centurion servant. He heals him. He simply says, go home and it will be done, even as you've asked. But here, in this particular case, we remember that she was not dead when Christ first hears about it. He could have stopped her death, but we see that he waited, and he actually came to the home. He's there, and it's seen not by many, like the in the case of the woman. It is only among a small group, Jairus's parents and Jairus and his wife, as well as Peter, John, and James. But we see that he came so that he may grant his touch, and show even some, and have it recorded for us how Christ's touch is able to raise even the dead. And so we see what a wonderful miracle, two miracles, in fact, one after the other, on the same journey. And Christ proves himself. The faith of these two people are not disappointed in any way. It becomes reality with one touch. And he does more than anyone else anywhere could ever do. The touch, so important, and we see it in full effect here. Well, the touch is important, but how do we touch Christ? How do we lay hold on Christ? He is not here. He is in heaven, after all. We can't physically touch Christ. He's not been on earth for 2,000 years. He now sits up in the throne in heaven in glory, and there he is, and we will not, and no one will meet him until they die or until he returns once again. So how can we touch him? Well, we lay hold onto Christ by faith, where we can't physically touch, where we can't physically see. We don't need to. It is faith that connects us to Christ. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And for the physical needs of these two, the physical death and the physical sickness, that physical touch was there. Was there. It was there to show that that they needed to touch him, to be connected to him, in order to be healed, to be restored. But for our spiritual need, we can have faith. And we know that Christ himself says so, that it is the faith that is important, that even in the case of these two, it's the faith that he responds to. In verse 34, we see Christ saying to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Christ recognizes faith. It is it's that same faith that caused them to come to Christ, to trust in Christ, and to touch Christ. But we can also extend it and say, for us, we must do all the same. But we can also just that we can we must also have faith that even without touching him, our faith enables us to lay hold on him. And faith is essential. Think of a mobile phone or any other electronic device without a charger, without being connected to a power source, it will soon be useless. And in order to do this, there needs to be that wire, that cable that goes between them. There needs to be that physical connection, even though it's an electronic device. Our faith is that wire that connects us to the power source. It does nothing. It's just a wire. If it was not plugged into anything, it would just be some copper metal coil. But what it does do is that it connects. It connects. It's the device that we use. It's the power source that supplies. But without that connecting wire, we can't do anything with either. In such a way, faith is important, and so we must value that touch of faith. But above all, we must remember that grand object of faith. We must remember that what is that power source? The touch, the wire, the faith is crucial, but even more important is that we touch Christ, that we have faith in Christ. He is the one who's full of power and of grace. We see the importance of on the touch, but really it's because we depend on Christ. And so we don't make much of our faith. We know it's essential, but we praise him, we thank him, we praise Christ and we thank Christ. We recognize that the faith is important, but we don't make much of it. Just like you would pay your electricity provider, you give them their dues. We give Christ our dues. Of course, we do it with love and not with reluctance. But but the idea is the same. It is Christ who is the source of what supplies us and addresses our need. So we recognize him. And it is Christ who is able to help. Are you heavy laden with sin? Do you fear death? Do you have a great need just like these two? Well, seek to touch Christ. Seek to be connected to him by faith. He truly is the hope of the hopeless. In the whole of Mark chapter 5, if there's one theme, is that it is Christ is the hope of the hopeless. Early on in Mark chapter 5, in our previous sermon, we considered that raving mad, demon-possessed man of Gadara. And then today we see the woman who was incurable for 12 years, and finally we see someone who's dead. And it's not as if no one else has tried to address the situation, but we see that these were all situations that that anyone would consider hopeless. But nothing is impossible with God, nothing is impossible with Christ. And we see that Christ comes true even here. And so we look to ourselves, and what is our situation? Do we have hope? Do we, or are we in despair? Are we caught in our sin? If we are, come to Christ, come to Christ, seek his touch, and all will be well. And so we remember the touch of Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. We know that we come to one who is so full of blessing, so full of tenderness, so full of mercy, and so full of power. We know, O Lord, that as we come to you, we need to come to you by faith. We need to come to you wanting, O Lord, to be connected to you. And so we pray that you would increase our faith, and we pray that you would truly also increase our desire to touch you, to be with you. We pray, O Lord, that whatever the situation of all who are here with us tonight, we pray that they may know your touch, that they may seek you out, that they may not be discouraged by external circumstances, by others, or even by inward fears. We pray that that faith would overcome all these things, that you would encourage them and draw them to you, that they may look to touch Christ and have his blessing. We pray, Lord, that whatever situation they may be in, we pray that that you would come true for them, and that all the way they would have great faith and assurance in you. We pray especially for those who are outside your kingdom, those who perhaps may be seeking you, but Lord, we know that without salvation, living in sin, living according to the ways of this world, is a far worse situation than this woman or even this young little girl could ever be was in. So we pray that for those who do not know you, that they would truly come, that they would truly come to Christ, that they would lay hold on him and have him have his life-giving touch and have his healing mercies as well. We pray that you would continue to be with us in the coming week. Do bless us in coming messages as well. We look to you, O Lord, and even every time we come to hear your word, may we truly know your touch. And so we do pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.